Amen. Good morning. Yeah, good to see everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we celebrate all month long, and wow, I just saw you. You know who I'm looking at over here. You know, there's a special missionary who's here from America, a missionary to American University. You want to come up and say hi real quick? I know what you're doing, but come on and just give us a greeting, would you? This is Pastor Blaine. This is a missionary to American University. Hey, bro. How you doing, man?
Good.
You want to say hi?
Sure.
Good to see you.
Hey, it's so great to be here. I decided last minute to visit this morning. You guys are a supporting church of my family and our ministry, but to be honest, showing up today for me is a little bit selfish. I've told this story before, but Pastor Dave one time caught me prayer napping up in the pews because I snuck in and I dropped my kid off for daycare last year, and then he gave me the prayer code and then changed on me a few times but gave it to me again. But I love coming to this church because I feel that there are people here that worship and pray in such a way that the kingdom comes down to earth for just a few moments. And so I'm coming today just for myself. I have the privilege of speaking at a different church tonight, but this is really like a spiritual home for me in a strange way. And so thanks so much for not only giving, because that blesses students at American University through Chi Alpha, but I do want to just say personally, like when I'm struggling or I need something, I come to this church. I pop into a service, I pop into the prayer room, and so your prayers and your worship aren't just for you. They make an impact in me personally, and so I'm grateful to be here. Love Pastor Dave putting me on the spot. Great guy. I'll make him treat me to lunch later this week to make up for it.
I love you, man. Good to see you. Wow. You know, to have Blaine is one of the most spiritually impactful people I know personally, and to have him say that he's blessed spiritually here is not a small thing, really. We need to recognize that because of the influence that he has for the kingdom of God with that ministry at American University. So he's one of my all-stars. I got to tell you that. You're one of my all-stars. I just really appreciate who you are. I love going over to university, the university ministry, and watch them in action and know the impact that that's having, not only in that campus, but that's going to spread from that campus all over the place as students come and go. So it's pretty amazing. God's good. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So again, Merry Christmas to all of you. We're excited to kind of enter into this season. I want to start just by praying specifically for the things that are coming up that you heard from Paulo. I don't think I've ever heard anyone give announcements like Paulo does. And it's like you just wait for the next line, you know. But we just want to commit to God both what we're doing here in Cathedral Heights and Columbia Heights, and just ask. We were singing those songs, shout the name Jesus, and there's no other name that's worthy. There's no other name that receives salvation. And so I want us to shout the name Jesus through our ministry this month. And just to loudly proclaim. Now, you can speak softly and loudly proclaim. Did you know that? The Word of God says, give people the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. So sometimes it doesn't mean yelling at people, but it means boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus. And we're going to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? All right. Let me get back to where we are on that. Let's pray for that. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for us. We thank you for your faithfulness throughout this year. Lord, it makes us even believe you for more as we go forward, as we see what you've done in retrospect. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for who you are and what you're doing. And we just pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, with the power of your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses, Father. We pray for all other churches and ministries around us, that God, they would be empowered by your Spirit, that we would be a major part of that mix, Father, that we would proclaim your love, that people who don't know you like we do, people who don't know you, Jesus, they're not excited about the change that you make in our lives every day, that you can make in their lives. We pray that, Father, through the power of your Spirit, you would help us to make you known, and that people would come to know you, God, from this community, God, and they're in our adopt-a-block community. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would Just pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, onto all these people's lives, God, to bring them to you, Father, to bring us to you, God, in Jesus' name. Can we say amen together? So for the past 2 weeks, let me just go back one slide, because if you haven't been around for a little bit, we're doing a teaching series called Deeper Life. This series has been graciously given to us by Pastor Bill Farrelly out there at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And we've been going through this for the last several weeks, and it's been really rich. Can you say amen if you feel like it's been rich in your lives? The revelation of Father, the revelation of grace, forgiveness, all of those things. I'll just give you that opportunity to say amen if that's happening. Amen. So I know we're going deeper in that, and I just want to encourage you, if you don't have one of these blue folders, let us know. Raise your hand if you haven't been around. We want to put one of these in your hand. I know, Blaine, you would be one because you've been out on the road. Anybody that doesn't have one of these, we want to get them. Who's handing these out? We have the folders, yeah? Okay. Oh, let's hand out, okay, just the notes for today. Is that what you're doing? So we'll get the folders to you later. Let's get the notes for today. Come on in and we can bring those to folks. Oh, they're in the seats. Okay, I see what you're saying. So, it makes it easier. Just reach out and grab that those notes today. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the power of God's Word. And then today, we're going to begin to look at the power of the author of God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, the author of the Word of God. So if the Word of God is powerful, imagine how powerful is the author of the Word. So if you don't have one, yeah, I see them. Some of you are still reaching out. They should be in seats, but if there aren't enough for you, reach out and we'll get one to you. So as we begin today, this December celebration month for Christmas, I want to make this statement. There would be no Christmas without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I know that Christmas is about Jesus, that we know that, but Jesus was born of an unmarried woman named Mary. If you're familiar with the story, you know this good and well, and many of you do. And when Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would give birth to a son and his name would be Jesus and that he would save people from their sins, her human, very natural response was this. She said, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So then, no Holy Spirit, no Christmas. Because the power of the Holy Spirit was what caused Mary to conceive. So while you're worshiping the Lord for coming, the Father for sending His Son, the Son for coming for your salvation, you can also worship the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, of the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit is responsible for the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to get into, in a couple of weeks when we talk about the identity and calling of God, we're going to get a little more into who the Holy Spirit is when we talk about that as an identity. But we're looking at one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brought Christmas to us. But I want you to notice in this verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit comes before the power of the Most High. Did you see in the way that it's worded? It says, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And I think that's important for us to see that, because often when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't think about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit is not merely a power, but the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is powerful, but always remember that the Holy Spirit is personal. In the next slide, you'll see, and this is in your notes, where we'll fill in a little bit of the blanks if you're following along. So we recognize with the personability, the connectedness, the relational aspect of the Holy Spirit, that before we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. And feel free to fill that in your notes there. I want to ask you this rhetorically, and it's in your notes. Is the Holy Spirit a force or a friend? And I would say this, the Holy Spirit is a friend who is forceful. The Holy Spirit is a friend with a lot of force. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful friend that you have. The most powerful friend that you have is the Holy Spirit. When you recognize the power of God's Word, you recognize that where God's Word was communicated to us, how it was communicated to us, was through the Holy Spirit. So when we're declaring the Word of God, we're declaring the words that came to us through the Holy Spirit. So we recognize that the Holy Spirit is a power, but is not just a power, is a person who is powerful. The Holy Spirit is not just a force, but a friend who is forceful. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when it talks about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it says it this way, the grace of the Lord Jesus, there's the Son, the grace of the Lord Jesus, Christ, and the love of God, there's the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Can I say that to you? I want you to receive that from the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Are you feel blessed right now? You've got it all right there. You've got the love, you've got the grace, you've got the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But notice it's talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit is personal and relates with you. That there's a sweet fellowship with you, that you have with the Holy Spirit. That means when you pray to God, you can address God as Father. You can address God as Jesus the Son. You can address God as Holy Spirit because that's who God is. One God that is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we look at many other scriptures, we see that the Holy Spirit has personhood from just the way that the Holy Spirit is referred to. For instance, the Holy Spirit speaks. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit communicates. The Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 13, for example, verse 1 through 4, it says that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas to the work to which I've called them. And we sometimes focus on Paul and Barnabas and the missions work that started then, but we forget that it all started with the vocalization of God's plan by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke into that community. And so when someone speaks, you know that someone is someone. Okay? Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, you don't communicate with inanimate objects. You don't talk to them. They don't talk back to you. When somebody is communicating with you, you know that they're a person. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking. But there's many other things. Did you know that the Holy Spirit feels? The Holy Spirit has emotions. Did you know that? We're made in the image of God. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve. Can you imagine that the Holy Spirit experiences grief by our behavior, by our, you know, schisms and all those things? The Holy Spirit is actually grieved by that. So there's an emotional aspect to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be offended. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says that when you continue willfully to sin after you've come to know the grace of God, that it says that that's an insult to the Spirit of grace. That actually insults the Holy Spirit, and here he's called the Spirit of grace. Isn't that a beautiful thing? See, sometimes we're so detached because of the word Holy Spirit. It sounds so ethereal, far-fetched, you know, way out there, not in the concrete world. And then all of a sudden you recognize that the Holy Spirit is revealed in these dear, very personal words and is described in this case as the Spirit of grace. So if you love the grace of the Father, if you love the grace of the Son, you can also love the grace of Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So don't feel like, by the way, it's okay sometimes to be afraid of God. Did you know that? In fact, it's even healthy in the beginning to understand that you need to be afraid of God, okay? It says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. knowing that God holds your life in his hands, not just your destiny here, but your eternal destiny, there has to be a level of, better not mess with this one, okay? I got to handle this right. And the Bible even says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but it also says that perfect love casts out fear. So once you come to know that God is good and that he loves you and that you begin to flow with him, then that fear begins to be taken away. You know, you begin to be settled. The Bible says that your hearts become at peace, become at rest. And so you've got this beautiful aspect, but I want to encourage you that if the Holy Spirit ever kind of scares you a little bit, because just the name Holy Spirit might sound way out there, or you might have heard some experiences of a Holy Spirit that maybe were biblical and still sounded like strange, or maybe were totally unbiblical and you know it's wrong and you'd want to stay far away from it. Well, just remember this, that when Jesus came walking to his disciples on the water, they thought he was a ghost. They were afraid. And so sometimes when God comes to us, because we've never experienced it before, we might get a little antsy about it. But I love what Jesus said to them. Hey guys, it's okay. My paraphrase, you know, because he just said to them, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's I, the Lord. And so the beautiful thing is Holy Spirit comes to us and we might not be used to, you know, referring to God as Holy Spirit or experiencing the Holy Spirit. And yet he comes and says, it's me. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone as orphans. I'm going to come to you. We're going to read that passage in a minute. And he says, I'm going to come to you, not leaving you as orphans. So you know what? What he's saying to us is when Holy Spirit comes to us, Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to us by his Spirit. Father comes to us by his Spirit. So we recognize that there's a personality to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your best and most powerful friend. So let's go ahead and be introduced to the Holy Spirit this morning. We learn, first of all, from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is a gift to us who comes to us through the new covenant. Now, let me just talk to you about this for a minute. We learn from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is sent to us from God the Father through the Son, Jesus, and that this is because of the new covenant. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the new covenant. Now, we know that Jesus is the promise of the new covenant, but we often overlook the Scriptures that say to us that the Holy Spirit is promised to us in the new covenant. Now, the old covenant was established. It's what we call the Old Testament. And yet the new covenant was ushered in by the Holy Spirit through the revelation of Jesus. We see that from his birth, his life, his death, all of those things of Jesus is the ushering in of the new covenant. And so we think of Jesus as the gift of God to us, provided through the new covenant, but we don't always remember that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the new covenant as well. And I'm not going to go into these scriptures, but I've listed them there for you in your notes from Ezekiel the prophet, Jeremiah, the fulfillment in the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, and there's many more other places in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that identify Holy Spirit as the promise of the new covenant. That one of the things that is promised us in the new covenant and central to it all is the abiding Holy Spirit in our lives. Knowing him as a person, knowing him personally, experiencing his power. And by the way, I'll even say this. The only way to truly experience the new covenant on a day-to-day basis is when the Holy Spirit comes alive in your life. When the Holy Spirit fills you, takes up residence inside of you, overpowers you. Do you know that the new covenant is nothing without the Holy Spirit? It's nothing without the Holy Spirit. Jesus could have done everything that he did on the cross. And yet, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we'd never be able to experience that. We'd never even have it in writing. The Holy Spirit's the one that gave it to us, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, the Apocalypse, the Apocalyptic is what the word I wanted to say, Revelation, and the other prophecies that are given to us. The Holy Spirit gave us that. But the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead. But the Holy Spirit just doesn't give us the information. The Holy Spirit gives us the experience of the crucifixion, the experience of the resurrection. I just want to tell you this. I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would say standing, but I'm sitting, you know. I wouldn't be sitting here today sharing these words with you if it wasn't for the ongoing, powerful work of Jesus in my life. And how does that happen? It happens when Holy Spirit comes in me, comes on me, and reveals to me the cross, reveals to me the empty tomb. And it enlivens me. It causes me to believe. It causes me to have hope. And so we're giving credit to whom credit is due. We love the Father. We love the Son. We love the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. No condemnation. Shame, guilt, all of it removed. All the embarrassment, all of that taken away, right? All of that is removed. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the new covenant. But here's what it says in the next line. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So what we do is we say, look, I'm not going to lean on the flesh. I'm not going to lean on my human strength. I'm going to lean on Holy Spirit. I'm not just going to know what I know. I'm going to know what Holy Spirit knows. I'm not just going to do what I do. I'm going to do what Holy Spirit does. I'm not just going to live like I do. I'm going to live like Holy Spirit does through me. Can you say amen? So it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a power to be a witness by telling others about Jesus, but it's a power by being a witness by actually living like Jesus lived. And it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, when I read the book of Romans, I see the new covenant. I see the grace of God. I see the good news of Jesus. But as much as I see about Jesus, I see about Holy Spirit. It's constantly referring to the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit's like the delivery system of all that Jesus has provided to us, of all that the Father has provided to us. Don't you love the cooperation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Don't they get along well? Don't they just get along well? Can you imagine the kind of friendship that they've had for all eternity? They just like seamlessly work together. They love partnering with each other. They love fellowshipping with each other. And they have invited you and me into that fellowship. Can you say amen? God is awesome. So the Holy Spirit is the promise. As the promise of the new covenant. So let's think deeply about who the Holy Spirit is by looking at these teachings of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, Jesus is just about to go to the cross. He's knowing that after going to the cross and rising from the dead, he's gone. He's back out of here, okay? He's going back up to the Father. He's going back into heaven, okay? And I wanted to stop and digress and talk about heaven a little bit. We'll try and be disciplined and do that next time. But it's a great topic. Anyway, so he knows that he's going away. And he's taking, really it was three chapters, 14, 15, 16. And then he goes in the prayer in 17. And it's the most teaching that we see of Jesus's about the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says in this passage. Jesus said to his followers, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And by the way, you remember what he commanded? Believe in him and love one another as he loved you, right? So remember the command. He says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And do you see the way he comes to us? By sending to us from the Father, the Holy Spirit. Isn't this a beautiful expression? I love this beautiful expression. He says, "All that I've spoken while still with you." I'm on the next verse. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father." You know, this is the earliest of the Trinitarian formulas. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Do you see this in this passage? It's saying it right there. Here you have the Father is the one through whom the Holy is the one giving the Holy Spirit. And the one who's speaking is the Son, Jesus. And he's saying, I will ask the Father. So there you have the Father, you have the Son, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And so there you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And you see the revelation of God supernaturally. And we see that so many other times. And there's beautiful expressions of it in a more cryptic form or in a more less revelatory form in the Old Covenant. But the New Covenant brings the fullness of it. It's just like, okay, here it is. Now you're ready. Here we go. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into, when we talk about Trinity, how you find that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We'll see it in the Old Testament. We'll see it in the New Testament. But what we have an expression here is, again, a beautiful expression of the Holy Spirit. And then it says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And so we're allowed to know that, you know what? What we have is different than what the world has. The world is after a spirit. Did you know that? Everyone in the world is after a spirit. Sometimes plural, okay? They're going after the spirits. You know that's what they call alcohol, right? The spirits. We're going to go after the spirits. We're going to go after these spirits. We're going to go after the spirits that come with pornography, the spirits that come with idolatry, the spirits that come with immorality. There's all kinds of spiritual, with unforgiveness, with bitterness. There's all kinds of spirits out there that people are holding on to. I believe racism is a spirit. I don't believe it's just a human thing. I believe it's a diabolical plan of the enemy. And sometimes, and the hatred that is caused, the unforgiveness, all of those things, these are spirits. And the world is running after these spirits. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have what the world doesn't have. You have the possibility of transformation, the possibility of forgiveness, the opportunity to walk free of all of those dark things that enter into the human heart and enter into human relationships. And so we've got this beautiful thing, and we need to recognize that, you know what, the world just doesn't really sometimes get this. And that doesn't mean we leave the world alone. God loves the world, wants us to reach out to the world. But if the world doesn't get us at times, we need to go, well, that's kind of makes sense because they don't have the abiding Holy Spirit. They don't know this personal relationship with God. So there's so much that we're learning about the Holy Spirit that makes our lives different and causes us to not have the world fully understand us at times. And so if you're not laughing at those jokes and they don't get it, you know it's the abiding Holy Spirit. And you might get embarrassed and go, I got to laugh at the jokes because everyone's doing it. But then you know that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And you just go, look, I'm not going to worry about what they have because their spirits are leading them to alcoholism and all these other things. We're going to go with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And so we've got this beautiful expression here. And so here's what I want to say about the Holy Spirit. Not everyone in the church believes the same thing about the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Not everyone in the church. And when you start talking about God, if you start talking about Jesus, most people in the church are like, good. Then you start talking about Father, and he's revealed as Abba, which is a way that, of expressing him, an intimate dada, daddy, you know, papa. Then you start losing some religious Christians. You know, they start, I was one of those. I used to hear people go, oh, Papa God. And I go, man, these people are so weird. And by the way, I still, when I pray publicly, often don't say dada or Abba or things because I know that people don't get that. But I also, when I'm with the Lord alone, I'm like dada, like Abba, I love you for being so, I love that. But then when you start talking about Holy Spirit, you lose a lot more. Did you know that? You just lose a lot more Christians. But let's just let you know this. There's been a whole bunch of history of the church. For 1,000 years, the church was called one thing. And it was like, you know, the word universal, Catholic is the word now. And then the whole Roman thing. And then the church split about 1,000 years into the thing between Orthodox and Catholic. And then another 500 years, you had the Protestants. And then the Protestants made an art form out of dividing. Like, we have so many Protestant expressions. You've got divisions over everything. Like, we'll go, I don't like the way you do communion, I'm going over there. I don't like the way you do this, I'm going over there. I don't like the way you baptize, I'm going over there. All these things that kind of divide us. But here's the thing. We still, in essence, believe the same thing. When you look at Christians across the board, they believe that God is Father, that God is Son, that God is Holy Spirit. That's their theology. Whether it's transforming their lives or not is another thing, maybe. Okay? Whether they're personally connected with it might be another thing. But theologically, they believe the same thing. But then, you have kind of in that Protestantism and even Catholicism, you've got a group of people called the evangelicals, and a lot of people, like, I heard a pastor, a Baptist pastor that I'm good friends with, the other day, we were hanging out with these Muslim imams and sharing with them and things, and he said, "I'm not an evangelical." He said, "I'm not an evangelical," and his bishop said, "Hey, I'm going to talk to you later." And then he turned to the imams and he said, "He's an evangelical, he just doesn't like being one." Okay? And he says, "I'll talk to you later." But the reason why is because now there's kind of political stuff to the word evangelical. Did you notice that? Like, people think if you're an evangelical, this is your political persuasion. Well, I just want to break it to you. I don't know what part of your political persuasion is, but I just want you to know this. If you know Jesus and you want other people to know him, you're an evangelical, okay? That's who you are, right? But then you've got this other part of evangelicalism called charismatics. And then there are a lot of people that are like, "I don't want the charismatic stuff," okay? And sometimes it's for good reason, okay? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. Even well-intentionally, we insult non-charismatics. Did you know that? We don't mean to do it. We do it in our excitement, but we just insult people. And we don't realize we're doing it. We use the words like full gospel. We're full gospel. So are they partial gospel? We're spirit-filled. You're spirit-empty? All right? We're charismatic. You're plain and dull. You're non-charismatic. And we don't mean to do that. We ask people questions. Do you have the Holy Spirit? I have the Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit. Let's just say this. All of Christians believe, all, charismatics, evangelicals, all the rest, they believe that if you receive Jesus in your life, Jesus comes into your life by the Holy Spirit. At that point, you have the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to kind of level the ground, because I know that I've even offended non-charismatics. But through my excitement about the Holy Spirit, I'm like, "Yeah," it's like, "Whoa, you know, you got to experience this." And they're like looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?" And I just want to say to them, I believe what you do. I'm not trying to like make myself better. I'm not trying to. You believe that when you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that as well. I don't believe that you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that you have to work miracles. I believe that Jesus is the one. His death, his resurrection is why we go to heaven. I believe that. But I also don't want to do without some charismatic stuff. I just don't want to do without the miracles. I just have seen too much of what God does. I know that the scriptures say, "Quench not the Spirit of God." I know that the scriptures tell us to not despise the gifts, to judge the gifts and make sure that they're right. And even the Corinthians, who misused the gifts so much, Paul didn't come and tell them to stop the gifts. He came and told them, "You're really gifted. You need to do it better, though. You need to do it right. Need to do it in love." But he never told them, stop the spiritual gifts. By the way, there's a lot of things that are abused that you don't stop using. Did you know that money's often abused? Did you know that? Do you stop using money? No. Sex is often abused. But people are still having babies. And so what I'm saying is that we don't throw out these kind of experiences because they're misused. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. If it's misused, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are misused, we don't throw those out. We just say, "God, we want all that you have for us." Can you say amen? So there's beautiful stuff here about experiencing the Holy Spirit. Let me see where I am, because I want to make sure, because I feel like I'm ahead of myself in my notes, which is good. And I just want to double check and see if I missed anything that I really wanted to communicate on this. All right, so let's get this straight then. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You got that? All right? And we can celebrate that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in them. I'm just going to tell you this. I've met some non-Christians who I trust more than Christians. Some Christians. That's not a blanket statement. There are just some Christians, by their behavior, I actually trust them less than I trust non-Christians, okay? And I'm going to say this. I often trust the integrity of non-Pentecostals walk with the Lord than Pentecostals walk with the Lord. Some, okay? I'm just saying that in every crowd, there's an element, okay? There's the strong, and then there's the weak, and we need to strengthen the weak. And so, but let's just get us all on the same plane. You can't know the spirit of adoption that cries out to you, "Abba, Father." You can't know the seal of salvation, the redemption, without the Holy Spirit. So if you know that Jesus has saved you from your sins, you have the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? All right. So let's go on to the next one. I just Yep. Okay. Hey, by the way, one more thing on that. What does the scripture say about how long the Holy Spirit's going to be with us?
Forever.
That tells you that the Holy Spirit is not just a power. Because if the only purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower you for ministry, then when you die and go to heaven, your ministry is over. Okay? At least the evangelism and all those things, it's over. You don't have to be empowered to do ministry here on this earth. This is about friendship. This is about an abiding. It's going to go on through all eternity. So how much time do I have? All right, here we go. Okay, let's look at verse 25 and 28. Let's move on. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. How many of you don't have the word helper in your translation? How many of you have the word counselor? Raise your hand if you have the word counselor. All right? What's the other one? Advocate. How many of you have the word advocate? All right? Oh, man, Gary, you're the special one today. You're the only one that has advocate there. We have helper, we have advocate. You know why? Because it's hard to translate this word from the Greek. The word parakeet, parakeet. All right, we're going to laugh about that next week. I guarantee you my wife are going to laugh about that before the day's over. Dude, you talked about parakeet. I guarantee you it's going to be funny later on. The paraclete, okay? The Holy Spirit's not a parakeet, okay? The Holy Spirit, paraclete. So here's the Greek word. The whole thing is from the Roman phalanx thing, that thing that I've described to you before about how sisters should be together, brothers should be together, families, all of that. And what it is that you had these Roman soldiers that would line up, and there would be a few of them on this side. It was like a square, and the same number was on every side. And if the battle came in on one, and the enemy broke through that phalanx, then what they would do is they would let go of the other guys, and two soldiers would go back to back. And they would fight for each other, back to back. When the enemy's coming in one way, then that one fights them, and then they turn, you know, and then when the enemy comes in the other way, and they have each other's back. That's what the expression is here, talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has your back. The Holy Spirit fights with you, for you, is together with you. Another great representation of that advocate is somebody who stands beside you in a court of law, somebody who defends you, somebody who speaks up for you, somebody who will stand by your side no matter what's going on. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's why helper works, counselor works, advocate works, all of those things. Thanks. That was the attorney that came up with that. Yeah, of course. And so this is a beautiful expression that we have here. So it says, when the helper comes, the paraclete comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. There we have him identified. He is going to tell you the truth. Again, he proceeds from the Father, and he will bear witness about me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If you're getting to know the Holy Spirit in a deeper way, that's what this lesson is called, deeper life. If you're getting to know the Holy Spirit in a deeper way, you're recognizing that he's witnessing who God is, what God does, what God is saying, what God is communicating. He does it in many ways, just privately with you, sometimes through his gifts in the community, through prophetic words, through scripture, all of those things. He's coming and bearing witness of who Jesus is, etc. And then he gives us the ability to be witnesses as well. So it's a whole package of what Holy Spirit does in our lives. Let's look at the next scripture in chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Full disclosure, I didn't believe this scripture. I just didn't believe it. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. You're like, aren't you supposed to believe the Bible? Well, yes, I know that, but I just didn't believe it. I couldn't get there right away. Because I kept thinking, why is it better for Jesus not to be here? Like, if Jesus was here right now, we'd be like, that's my opinion. We would be like in charge. We'd be just like, it would just be like, Jesus is here, everything's good, and we're all set. And so this is how little we think of the Holy Spirit. I recognize that in my life. I recognize that we think so little of the Holy Spirit in that way, because Jesus is always going to tell us the truth. And he's telling us, it's a good thing that I'm going away, because if I'm not going away, if I'm not exalted to the Father, I can't release Holy Spirit to you. And if that happens, you guys are all cooked. You know why? Because Jesus was limited in time and space. Holy Spirit is not. Jesus is limited by Palestine, by that area, that geographical area. You say, well, what about the people that he talks to and how they can go and tell others? Well, guess how they could tell others? They could tell others because Jesus says, when I go away, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have the power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's absolutely true that when Holy Spirit comes, we're better off than when Jesus came the first time. Why? Because it's universal. Holy Spirit takes everything that Jesus was to us, everything that Jesus did to us, and he applies it to us, whether Jesus is there or not, in the flesh, okay? In the physical being. Can you say amen? It's Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like, what this does for me is this raises my level of expectation, and it raises my level hunger. I want to pray for more, because I realize, hey, if this is true, then I could and should be experiencing more of Jesus, more of his words, more of his ministry in my life, knowing that Holy Spirit is resident with me, and he's going to deliver to me all that Jesus has for me in my life and for those who I can influence with the cause of Christ. Can you say amen? So now you say, well, I don't know. Can I really believe it, or is it just an idea? It was proven in the first 300 years of Christianity in a very pure way, and it's been proven ever since. Do you know that this is the greatest generation of revival, the most powerful generation of revival of a 100-year time period since the first century of the church? There's more going on of the spread of the good news of Jesus all around the world today, all around the world, than there was that we've seen in 19 centuries, 20 centuries, or whatever it is. And so the reason why is because Holy Spirit is catching a hold. Do you know that there are churches all over the world that are huge, massive churches? And even if that one individual church, there are huge, massive movements, and the majority of them are infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. They would consider themselves evangelical, of course, but also charismatic. They would say, Holy Spirit, we want you. You know, that's what the Southern Baptists, who don't have in their theology in the U.S. much about the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I would talk about as charismatic. You go to their mission force around the world, and the majority of their missionaries, I'm told, are tongue-talking Holy Spirit people, okay? They're praying in the Spirit of God, because they're out on the front lines, and they're seeing that they need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not, they don't have to lean on the TV and the money and all the things that we might be able to lean on here. They know we need God to show up. We need a miracle to take place. We need something supernatural to happen so that someone in our society takes notice. I would love to sit here and tell you about miracle after miracle after miracle that happened by the Holy Spirit, the raising of the dead, the curing of AIDS, the curing of leprosy, all of those things that happened that caused whole communities to stand up that were resistant to the gospel to stand up and take notice. Now, for every story I have about the power of God through signs and wonders, miraculous things, there's the greatest sign and wonder, and that is the love that people receive from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when love comes, that's the greatest testimony. Jesus says, the world will know you're my disciples through your love. Where do you get the love? The Holy Spirit downloads it into our lives. Amen? And it's through the Word of God, and we are transformed by it. So for every miracle that captured a community's attention, we can point to somebody who loved supernaturally. So whether it's they proclaim supernaturally, they love supernaturally, they heal supernaturally, they prophesy supernaturally, whatever those things, all under one umbrella, Holy Spirit is doing this work, and we need to give him praise. Can you say amen? All right, so it's your advantage. So the Helper will come to you. I'll go, I'll send him to you. I love all this. I gotta kind of get wrapped up here pretty soon. So the Holy Spirit's power. Where am I? Did I do this one? No. I got to read that one. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, you can't save anybody or cause anyone to recognize they need to be saved. You can tell them, But if they believe you, it's because Holy Spirit grabs a hold of their hearts. Holy Spirit brings that truth home to them. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, the people's need for God, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father. Because we know that people are lost without Jesus. But in this pluralistic, you know, politically correct society, all these things, it's got to be the Holy Spirit that brings that home to people. Can you say amen? That's why we need Holy Spirit to show up. Hey, by the way, I'm going to tell you a story from AU from a long, long time ago. We didn't know how we'd get on that campus. Long before you were there, before God's and all, we didn't know how we'd get on that campus. And we were at a Holy Spirit conference. We didn't know it was a Holy Spirit conference. It was just called a campus ministers conference. You ever been to one of those? I'm talking to Blaine. And we were at that Holy Spirit conference, and was it Carlos Anacondia? Yeah, from the Great Revival in Argentina was there. No, it was maybe Sergio Scatagalini. One of those guys were there. Claudio Freitzen. It's Claudio Freitzen, I just remembered. And Claudio Freitzen was there, and people were falling in the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, I've seen fake falling. That's why I don't like catchers. If I'm going to fall in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen to me. Just clear the way. Don't catch me. And if I get hurt, it's because I faked it. And I needed to learn a lesson. Okay? I needed to learn a lesson. I've seen people mess with this. I've seen people pushing people. I hate that. They push people. They push them. I hate that stuff. You don't have to help the Holy Spirit. And there were people falling. I saw one guy fall. He was about 6'3". And he fell like, boom. And he was holding a baby, his infant baby. And I said, that can't be the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit let that infant baby go down with that guy? But I watched a miracle. As he fell, a person unrelated to him walked by and just went whoosh, like in one motion, like it had been planned for, like they had practiced it for a whole week. He just fell, and as he was falling, she just grabbed that baby, and that baby didn't even cry. And he's laying down there, and we're laying down there, and my heart is on fire. I literally feel fire in my heart. And I'm laying there, and a guy gets up and prophesies and says, That the Holy Spirit is lighting fires in people's hearts. And those fires are going to burn. And when we went to AU, they didn't have any of you guys on that campus. There was no campus crusade, no IV. They always are there before we get there. They weren't even there. No Chi Alpha, nobody. But they had everything else. All the other spiritual stuff was going on there. I saw it on the wall. I saw the campus minister was drinking with students and all these things and all these other religious stuff. And I thought, this is an impossibility. And so I just knew we had fasted and prayed for 21 days. We had never done that before. Many of us had never done that. Holy Spirit gave us the ability. And Holy Spirit began to be poured out. And one guy said, what do we do when we go back to our campuses? He said, don't bring falling. That's how Holy Spirit has manifested himself. Just bring the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit decide what he's going to do. When we went back to campus, not one person fell. Not one. Not one. Maybe never since. I don't know. Okay. And I don't even care. Because I know this. Chi Alpha was birthed miraculously on that campus and has been sustained miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's been an amazing work of God in a place that was as darkness gets. Holy Spirit is able. He is your most powerful friend. All right. I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm just going to preach. No, I'm kidding. I just want you to write this down in your notes. I got to land this because we got to pray. Just write this in your notes. Jesus did miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 37 through 38. It says that Jesus went around doing good, healing people, miraculous miracles, all of that, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to make sure you understand what I'm about to say. Jesus did not heal people. He didn't have the ability to heal people because he was God, because he was the second person of the Trinity. He didn't heal people to prove that he was God. Did you know that? He healed people to get their attention. I know that. And there were other things that proved that he was declared to be the Son of God, to be divine through the resurrection of the dead, by fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, all those things. But he caused his disciples to heal people and to do miracles. That didn't prove they were God. We know that Elisha and Elijah and all those did miracles. They weren't God. So miracles don't prove divinity, okay? And so you say, well, what point are you trying to make? I'm trying to make this point that sometimes you think you can't do miracles because you're not God. And you need to recognize that Jesus emptied himself. That's what Philippians 2 says. He put aside his God. Didn't mean he ceased to be God, but he put aside his position as God. He became dependent as a human being, and as a human being, he did miracles. This is one of those teachings from Bethel that I didn't really understand before that's revolutionary to me, because it causes us to think differently about how we live our human lives. That if Jesus is setting us an example that as a human you can do the miraculous, then that encourages us to believe it doesn't matter that I'm a human. It matters. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so it matters if I have the Holy Spirit and I allow the Holy Spirit to operate through me. Can you say amen to that? So that's a really important point. And I said I wasn't going to teach, but I guess that was a little bit of teaching. But here's what I meant by not teaching. John chapter 20, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. All of these, I don't have time this morning to go through all this. But you have these in your notes. And I just want to say that these passages of Scripture are showing you. And we're going to, don't worry, we're going to go through a lot of this next week, okay? We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit manifests and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that next week. But I want you to read these passages. They're in there in your notes. Read those passages and see what happens when Holy Spirit comes. Watch what happens in Acts 2, Acts 1. Watch that there's a subsequent experience, because in John 20, he's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. That's an expression to me of the power of salvation, the Holy Spirit coming in you. But the same people he said, breathe on them to receive the Holy Spirit, those are the same people that he told, wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And so what I'm saying is, like D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, who I don't have the same exact theology them about the Holy Spirit, but all of them knew there's a subsequent experience to salvation that's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we'll get into manifestations next week and speaking in other languages and all those things, but I just want us to say, you know what? There's the Holy Spirit is a person, but the Holy Spirit wants to come and enable us to have power. Now, why does the Holy Spirit? And this is what I want to end with this morning. You have those verses. You can look through them. But I want to talk about the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to read these for you. If you have the references there, you can look them up. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Notice, it doesn't say you'll receive Holy Spirit. There's a differentiation. Again, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have the person of the Holy Spirit. Now you're receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then in Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples, the same disciples who had already gone out and already laid hands on the sick, already cast out demons. They had already done that under the authority of the Holy Spirit that was given to Jesus. But now Jesus is leaving, and Jesus is saying, now you need the power of the Holy Spirit like I've lived in it. And I want you to have that abiding power in your life. And so these people are the ones who are told to wait for this other experience that they should have. And it says, then he said to them, these are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Isn't that a beautiful way to express the Holy Spirit? The promise of my Father. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And when you read those Acts passages, you'll see how Holy Spirit empowers us and comes upon us. But we're talking about the purpose of the power. Jesus is saying this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. That means that this congregation is called to preach to all nations. That we are called to preach, to make known Jesus to all the nations of the earth. And what congregation has a more strategic location than those of us here on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital? Here among the nations, we're called to preach the gospel. Well, how do we do it? We have jobs. We have responsibilities. We have lives to live. We have problems. We have issues. We got personal problems. We got external problems. How are we going to preach the gospel to the nations? We're going to do it by being endued with power from on high. And that power comes from Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And the last verse is Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And this is after persecution. This is after opposition. This is when they'd already experienced Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they are opposed, and they're told, never preach again in the name of Jesus, or we'll do the same to you that we did to your master and Lord Jesus. We'll crucify you guys. That's what they were saying. And it says in Acts 4, verse 33, it says that they went back earlier, it says that they went back and prayed. And after they prayed, it says, and with great power, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. It says that after they prayed, I didn't have that in here, but after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. But the last verse says, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. Why do you need the power of the Holy Spirit? Because you have to convince people that God sent his son Jesus in fulfillment of the prophecies 2,000 years ago, and that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And on the third day, he got up. He rose again. You're not out there to convince them of the best car to buy or the best education to get. You're out there to convince them of what in their world is impossible. And yet there's something inside of them that says there's more to this life. There's something inside of them that says there is a heaven. How can I get there? And if you're going to go and you're going to bring them to a place of understanding and then committing their life to Jesus, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand if you would, please. And I want you to allow me to humbly pray for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit as I ask you to pray for me, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray that every one of my sisters, every one of my brothers, would know you, Holy Spirit, as a person. They would know you personally. They would hear your voice. They would be receiving truth from you and comfort from you, counsel from you. Lord, I know that you said that you'll bring to mind things that we've learned, but you also said that you'll bring to mind things that we've never learned. I pray that people here would know you, Holy Spirit, not just to bring to mind the Word of God, but even to bring to mind solutions for problems on their jobs, in their homes. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be released right now to give us codes for computer systems, or that you would give us, Lord, the answer to some mathematical problem or to some scientific discovery. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make known to us truth, and all truth is your truth, Father. So I pray that you would cause us to know how to live our lives, how to be successful in our Christian walk, in our careers, in our families, to have healed relationships. I pray that every one of us would have that kind of relationship with you, Holy Spirit, that we would fellowship with you, that we would hear your voice, that we would know how to hear the voice of the Father, the voice of Jesus. By you, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us. But I pray that beyond the relationship would come an endowment with power from on high to be witnesses. I pray, Lord, that whether our personalities are loud or soft, that we would have the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that we would have the power to prophesy into people's lives, that we would have the power to boldly proclaim Jesus is Lord and you need him in your life. Lord, I pray that we would have words to say, to be able to witness to people, whether it's on a bus or on a metro rail or a person we work with, we go to school with. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would even say to us, hey, that person needs to hear the gospel right now, or that person needs to hear something about their life that would cause them to know that through the prophetic power that there is a God who loves them. And so, Father, I pray that you would release your power, that we would live in the power of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, in Jesus' name. I pray that we would be obedient to pray. I pray that we would be obedient to wait upon you, to receive from you your power. I pray that we would be obedient to not wait. I pray that we would be obedient to step out when you tell us to, into your power, to get out of our boats and walk on water. We know that's impossible, but God, we know that you ask us to do things like that at times. And so, Father, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to come on and transform every one of our lives. God, every one of our families, God, our church family, God. Lord, every community, God, that names your name in this city, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would transform us by your power, God. In Jesus' name, amen.